We must overcome the notion that we must be regular. It robs you of the chance to be extraordinary and leads you to the mediocre. Actress Uta Hagen.
Welcome to the Managing Editor Show. I'm Jess.
And I'm Alyssa.
Every Tuesday morning, we jump into your earbuds to talk the down and dirty on all things writing, editing, and content.
From the perspective of the guardians of the publishing galaxy, the folks who approve your submissions and make your words not suck. We've got some really cool guests lined up and on our wish list for those bonus episodes we love giving you guys every month. But like so many other things, we'd kind of like to talk to people that you folks out there in podcast listening land want to hear from as well. Do you know an editor or site manager whose brain you've always wanted to pick? Someone you look to for writing courage and inspiration? Please let us know. And speaking of getting inspiration from others, I wanted to share a funny little story of my traveling pursuits with you today, Jess.
I'm so excited. Your traveling pursuits are always ridiculous.
So
ridiculously awesome.
So this week I was hanging out in a cafe here in Oaxaca, Mexico, typing away at my keyboard as I do with my little Americano, which they all laugh at because the American drinks Americano. And I got some kind of rough news. I found out my sister had to have some emergency dental surgery back in the States. So I was texting with her to make sure I was okay when I unexpectedly sneezed. And it was, you know, one of those super loud, like, scare the crap out of everyone around you sneezes because you have no warning that it's coming. And this adorable Mexican woman is sitting at the table in front of me, and she turns around, kind of looks at me for a second, grins, and yells, "Escriba, no telefono, escriba!" Which, to be fair, she probably said it in better Spanish than what I just translated, but what she basically was saying was, "Right, no telephone, right!" And I'm not going to lie, I kind of want her to follow me around now and just start yelling at me when I'm supposed to be writing and like while kindly smiling at me.
Oh my God, that's such a great story. I mean, I feel like everyone needs someone like that standing over their shoulder being like, no, no, get off this thing, go on that thing, write this thing, not that thing. Like, right. It's like your own little like drill sergeant.
I'm not going to lie. In the back of my head, I'm going to, for like the next few months, just every time I know I should be writing here, this woman being like, escriba, escriba.
I love that you end up in these communities where the locals look after you. It just makes me feel better about you being outside of the States. Not that it's safe here either, but that's another conversation for another day. Anyway, so this week we're going to talk about a couple of tweets that Alyssa caught on the Twitters. And there's a great hashtag if you're a writer looking to submit a book proposal or manuscript. It's hashtag query tip, where book agents and publishers offer some of their insights into the query process. So the tweets that we're going to talk about come from Carly Waters, a mostly fiction agent at PS Literary. And these are two of the many. So I encourage you to check out that that hashtag on Twitter to see some more. The first one is, one of the best lessons I learned about evaluating slush pile manuscripts is, if it's a maybe, it's a no. And the other one is, lukewarm enthusiasm helps no one, and trying to convince an agent isn't going to work. The words on the page do the talking. Hashtag query tip.
I love this hashtag. And while it's technically for book proposals and manuscripts, I feel like, shockingly, the process and the mindset for the two things, you know, submitting book proposals and manuscripts, isn't that different from trying to submit an article to a website or a publication.
Absolutely. And if you haven't noticed yet, Alyssa is much more of a writing nerd than I am. And I love it because I'm always learning something from her. But I feel like I'm much more like marketing minded, and Alyssa's more of this like, this writing better be fucking excellent minded. And I just feel like if we ever actually worked together on a project, it would be badass.
Kind of like this show.
But anyway, yes, I'm so glad you shared this hashtag with me, because once I started plowing through some of these tips, I immediately felt smarter. And I agree with you that it's not just for publishers of manuscripts, it's for any sort of editor or publisher. And the specific hell yes versus no, or fuck yes versus no, depending on how you like to roll, is a great mantra, not only for pitches, but also for life. I think we all let ourselves fall into the maybe category on a lot of decisions we make. And honestly, it doesn't hurt anyone else more than it hurts ourselves. And the same thing goes with publishing. If I decide to publish something that I'm feeling meh about, it's going to hurt my publication because it's not going to get a hell yes from my readers. And as a writer, you know, you might not feel like every single thing you create is a hell yes, but you should always strive to get there if you want to be published.
Yeah, it goes back to what I was talking about, I feel like, last week. You know, as an editor, I want you to tell me your story and I want you to make it good. You know, often when I'm sitting, like, sifting through the slush pile of submissions, for those of you not in this space, slush piles are basically unsolicited submissions that come through either through a regular process or as completely unsolicited spammy emails. When I'm like sifting through these piles, I'm going to have to make snap decisions that are based on the information that is available to me. So if you send me like a mediocre pitch, how am I supposed to infer that you're going to deliver me an exceptional article off of something that's mediocre to start with? You know, as you said, I'm in the business of exceptional. I'm not in the business of mediocre.
Nice. Put that on a bumper sticker.
Praise hands. I just emojied myself, by the way.
Why not? Why not?
So, like, all I've got is what people email me. And unless I'm feeling significantly benevolent that day, or you have enough other experience, as we've talked about, that I can tell you may just be really shitty at selling yourself and your writing, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you no. Like, likely without too much more insight. So for the love of God, do not fight with me about it. I'm an editor who's totally cool if you want to write back once and ask right. if there's, you know, anything that you could provide as a writer that might change my mind. If you're on the kind of upper edge of mediocre, I might have some feedback. I might appreciate the follow-up and the hustle and want to figure out a way to work together. There's also a distinct possibility if you're on the lower end of mediocre, you're going to get a short note that, sorry, it just wasn't a good fit. And again, though I am benevolent sometimes, to be honest, I kind of err on the side of bitchy most days. So keep that in mind.
That's a good point. And it's funny because I feel like I often, even though my mood might be bitchy, I totally err on the side of being too nice sometimes in my responses. And sometimes I'll even like consider just not responding before saying no. And I know that I need to get better about this. I know that I can tell pretty quickly if something's going to be worthwhile or not. And I need to channel my inner Alyssa and just say, like, cause if it's not, yes, I fucking love this, or my readers are going to really dig this, or this was really inspiring or really creative or really thought provoking, then yeah, it's going to be a no. And really, I think about this a lot with my business too, because, and you probably have the same issue, just as an entrepreneur, people are always kind of like questioning you, like, well, why did you do that? Or why did you choose to hire that person or make that budgeting decision or change your logo or whatever? And I don't have to explain myself, right? And I've gone for too long trying to explain things and trying to make everybody happy. I feel like this is a common theme because we talked about this last week. But I don't think that editors always need to do that if something isn't really badass. And I think as a writer, you should know. You should know if you're knocking it out of the park or if you're dialing it in. And if you're dialing it in, just don't send it. Just like work on it more or look back and say, do I really want to be published on this site? Because if you do, you would work harder to make it happen.
That's such a good point.
Oh, thank you.
So I think there's some ways other than, you know, do exactly the opposite of what we just said are shitty things to do on ways that this can kind of be improved. One of my favorite things about literary agents is that they're kind of pimps for authors. Mm-hmm. I'm sure like many literary agents out there are going to be super stoked that I just called them pimps.
In a nice way.
In a nice way. I'm impressed by your pimptitude, literary agents. It's a great thing you got going there. But it's something to consider, I think, if you're great at writing or running a business, but maybe you suck at pitching and marketing yourself to publications and websites. And you know what? It's okay. As Jess has said before, I do focus more on the quality of writing and ideas and thoughts and that sort of thing. And I'm pretty shitty at times at marketing myself, which is why we have a marketing person in my agency so I don't have to.
That's awesome.
So that's what I would suggest to other people out there who maybe are really struggling to pitch themselves to these websites is consider hiring a promoter or a marketer, you know, or a literary agent, if that's what you're aiming for, to help you with this. Because they not only have contacts and proven processes, it's kind of what they do when they aren't offering their hard-earned wisdom for free through hashtags on social media, is getting their clients published to the places they want to be published to.
Right. And hopefully, you know, to that point, hopefully you would not... Okay, and I'm trying not to say this in too mean of a way, but you're not going to get an agent or someone to help you with this if your work product isn't good.
Yeah, that's very
fair.
And so,
I mean, you still need to, like, do, like, an agent can't help you if your stuff is shit. So consider that, too, as you're even, thinking about hiring someone, is that you need to have something worthwhile to put out there before someone's going to be willing and able, honestly, to get you out there. And the more I think about this concept, the more I've realized that I can usually tell if something's going to be a hell yes almost immediately. When I open the pitch or when I open the article, it's almost like their voice is oozing out of the computer screen for me. It's like if I can hear them or if I can really see the point that they're trying to illustrate or if I can relate to that story that they're trying to tell, it happens pretty quickly. And so that's another thing that's hard about these days, though, honestly, is you have to get to the point and get to the hell yes sooner than maybe you did, you know, 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 years ago because of our crazy attention spans. But it's not just that for editors. It's that we get so much shit that we're trying to weed out things from the slush pile or even from the stuff that I get that is solicited. It's got to be really, really, really good. So consider what you can do in your pitch and, of course, in your writing to make your editor jump up and down. I mean, really, if every writer's goal is to make the editor or the agent or the whoever jump up and down, imagine how much awesome shit would be produced in this world. And then to go back to my point earlier where I need to get better at this, if you're an editor yourself, get critical, get serious, because if it's not making you jump up and down, maybe consider rejecting it. You know, you don't have to be mean. And I think that's part of my problem is sometimes I'm too nice in my rejection. So then people think that's like an entrance for like, well, why? What can I do? And I'm like, no means no. But, you know, if you like the idea, I don't know, there are different ways to go about this. If you really like the idea, but not the delivery, maybe you can work with the writer to get it where you want, start developing that relationship. And another thing that we sometimes forget to mention is this. If you're the editor of a publication and you're not getting the content that you want from a quality perspective, or as I'm now going to dub it, a jumping up and down.
I like it. I like the new terminology.
Yeah. Think about what you can do. I mean, I always think that you need to look at yourself if you want to improve on something that's going on externally. So think about what you can do to make it easier for your contributors. Provide examples. Clarify your guidelines. Shoot a video explaining what you're looking for. You know, they say that actions speak louder than words, but when you're actually working with words, you have to get creative, right? So consider, you know, being a hell yeah in your own work and let that speak for itself. So on that note, what is inspiring action on your end, Alyssa?
Well, I know that this isn't like writing and editing per se, but I know a lot of folks out there travel internationally at least a bit if you're in this kind of like writing, content, editing world. So I thought I'd share something that might save some time, money, or suffering to keep in touch with family or friends. It's an app that I use on my smartphone called WhatsApp. Frequent traveler travel hack tip. I use it with my Google Voice phone number so I can keep the same account as I travel wherever in the world, and I don't have to update it with the new phone numbers every time I get a new SIM. For people who travel and stay long term in places, you don't take the charges of trying to take your phone internationally all the time. You just get a new SIM card in the new country, and that's how you get your data and everything else. Which is great, except if your family's trying to keep in touch with you and follow you all over, it's kind of a pain in the ass having to update your phone number constantly.
Unless you like get all these calls from people and you're like, go away. I actually would welcome a new phone number right now.
This may be for you then.
Yes.
So like that's what I was using to, you know, text with my sister about her emergency surgery. It's how I keep in touch with a bunch of people, like my managing editor, who I, you know, have to have a pretty open like emergency line with. She and I use WhatsApp to talk to each other. They offer calls over Wi-Fi, data, whatever your connection is, kind of similar to Google Fi. And they recently updated to include video calls. So it's kind of almost like FaceTime meets SMS. Nice. So it's really great for keeping in touch with people if you're traveling and don't want a ton of SMS, international SMS charges, or don't want to have other messenger apps. Like I fucking loathe Facebook Messenger so much. Mm-hmm. I refuse to put it onto my devices. Occasionally will accidentally click to try to get a message in Facebook and be forced into the app, and it makes me angry. So though Facebook bought WhatsApp earlier, so I'm assuming at some point it's going to be absorbed into the Facebook beast, and I will experience this with much sadness. Yeah, I was, you know, happy for them for the acquisition, but a little bit bummed about what it probably was going to mean for my happiness. But until then, WhatsApp, it's a great tool to use if you are traveling internationally to keep in touch with family and friends.
And it's free, right?
It's total. I think the first year is free, and then every year after that's like maybe $1.99 for the entire year. It's like
ridiculous.
Yeah. So,
okay. Good to know. I have used WhatsApp when I've traveled internationally, but I don't travel as often as you do. And like I said, I like to be left alone when I travel. FYI, if you are trying to get in touch with me when I'm on vacation, just don't. Well, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Managing Editor Show. And remember that if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no. And that should go for you with your own writing, as well as if you're an editor and you're reviewing pitches. Get a little more critical, get a little more serious about what you're doing, and think about what you would want to read and what you think would be unique and special and worthwhile.
And if you're looking for the links and resources here, including we will have a link to the query tip hashtag on Twitter in case you are just that fucking lazy, you can head over to our site, themanagingeditorshow.com/episode17.
And if you have any questions or ideas, or if you just want us to stop saying fuck, you know where to find us. Let us know if you have anyone who would be a great guest. If you want to be a guest on one of our upcoming bonus episodes, just go over to themanagingeditorshow.com, leave a voice message, or send us an email at hi@themanagingeditorshow.com. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye.